Hey, what's up? Jeff Ratcliffe here. Want to tell you about our friends over at Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free fantasy site. Brings the heat yet again with a $750,000 guaranteed rake-free contest. And with $100,000 awarded to the contest winners, this is the largest and only rake-free contest of its kind you will have for week three. And remember, only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of the entry fees paid to contestant winners. Sign up at fantasydraft.com with promo code PFF and you'll get a 7-day free trial on your first $1,000 in rake-free entries. What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Tuesday, September 17th. Heyo! Let's get into week three, baby. Week three waiver wire is officially upon us. And we're going to just hit the ground running today and dive right into this thing. Because I know that's what you're here for. You don't want to hear me talk about how my day is. Do you really care? Maybe you do, but you probably don't. I'm not kidding myself here. So yeah, here we go. Quarterback. Well, it kind of stinks this week. There's no easy way to put that. Ben Roethlisberger out for the season. Drew Brees going to miss at least 6 weeks. Well, hopefully it is just 6 weeks. And Cam Newton now sounds like he could be sidelined here, along with Sam Darnold. We already knew that news. I mean, quarterback's fallen by the wayside, but the Cam situation very much up in the air. Kyle Allen would get the start there if Cam is unable to go. And it looks like it's trending that way with this potentially with this foot injury that he suffered in the preseason. Everybody remembers that from the preseason. So very much up in the air, not practicing as of today. So what do you do? And here's the thing. First and foremost, the advice is really simple. If you have an issue at quarterback and you are not in a two quarterback or a super flex league, don't trade for a quarterback. You are wasting a trade. You are getting rid of depth for a position that you can easily work the waiver wire for. You know, and I know for some people, you know, you might be listening right now, and that's probably not what you want to hear. You want me to say, yes, go out and trade for Aaron Rodgers, right? But it really doesn't benefit you to do so. What you can do instead is work the waiver wire. And the problem is there is no, like, breakout, you're going to get a top five quarterback the rest of the way guy to pick up off waivers. But if you play your cards right and you work the wire effectively, the combined guy, and it's probably going to be multiple guys that you end up picking up over the next several weeks, it very well could be a top 10 quarterback. You know, if you put it all together and pretend like it's one person, that's very doable. It doesn't take a highly skilled fantasy football player to pull that off at quarterback. If you're in a one quarterback league, you do not need to trade. There are no exceptions to this rule. Like, I'm sorry, unless somebody wants like Dante Pettis for Aaron Rodgers, all right, fine, do it. But otherwise, don't waste your time, don't waste your energy. Work the waiver wire instead. I mean, look at it, week in and week out, we see guys come out of nowhere or, you know, seemingly come out of nowhere and put up top 10 weeks, like Jimmy Garoppolo last week. Like, guys can do that. If you hit the right guys, you're going to be just fine. So let's dive in here. And he may be owned in your league. And remember, we go from shallow to deep. If this is your first time listening to the pod, I'm going to give you I have over 50 recommendations on today's pod. And I'm going to go from shallow to deep. So before you start, you turn the pod off and say, he's owned in my league. This podcast is bullcrap. Before you go and do that, give it a minute, because I'll give you some deep recommendations too. But the first recommendation is Josh Allen. 5-10% on him. He is still widely available. He is currently the number 10 fantasy quarterback. His two rushing scores, he's not the best pocket passer, okay, but what he adds with his legs is really what you're looking for here. Only one quarterback has more rushing attempts than him through the first 2 weeks, and his name is Lamar Jackson. So Josh Allen certainly could be a guy who fills in for you in the meantime. If you're going to regular size leagues, so a regular size league is 12 teams, shallow leagues are 8 or 10, deep leagues are 14 or more teams. So regular size leagues, I think three guys really stand out to me. Jimmy Garoppolo after last week, that team looks a lot better than I think we realized it could be. Now, granted, it's only 2 weeks into the season, so a lot can change. But I do like what we saw out of him. He gave you the three passing touchdowns, just under 300 yards, too. Pretty efficient day for Garoppolo. Andy Dalton in the mix, yet again putting up decent numbers. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback in week two. It could be the offense. I mean, we know with Dalton, you don't have an enormous, enormous ceiling. But could we end up getting a high floor out of him this season? I think so. So far, so good, at least. Jacoby Brissett, another guy, not an enormous ceiling, but very efficient. High floor out of him. Three passing touchdowns this past week. Now, going to deeper leagues, here's where the interesting names come into play. First and foremost, I think you have to look at Daniel Jones in deeper leagues at 1%. By the way, 3-5 on Garoppolo, 3-5 on Dalton, 1-3 on Brissett. But 1% on Danny Dimes, now taking over as the starter in week three. Figured it wasn't going to take long. When you draft a quarterback at 6 overall, he's going to step in. We saw he was good in the preseason. His wide receivers are banged up, doesn't have Golden Tate. The overall state of the offense isn't particularly good, but he's in play in two quarterback leagues. Mason Rudolph, 1%. He'll be the starter the rest of the way for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know some people are optimistic. I just can't see, you know, going all in on this guy with what we have so far to base it on. We don't have anything to base it on. So I would rather, honestly, I'd much rather have Daniel Jones at this point. Then we have the New Orleans quarterbacks, and I think they're very interesting. I, in fact, would actually, if I'm in a deep league, go after Taysom Hill first over Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy's going to be the starter, you know, for now, but Taysom Hill is the guy with much more upside. And if somehow a change happened in the next week or two, like if they go out and they, you know, they have a tough outing this week, and of course they're on the road against Seattle, they're already at 1-1 currently. If you know, if they got to 1-2, 1-3 especially, maybe I mean, you'd still be 4 weeks out from Drew Brees' return, probable return I should say. Maybe they make a turn towards Taysom Hill. So I'm going to scoop him up now in deep leagues, and I'm going to pass on Teddy Bridgewater, but I have them both at 1%, and then Gardner Minshew at 1% as well. Love the moxie, love the attitude, the swag, just not overly in love with the play on the field. But, you know, hey, better than I guess a lot of people had thought so far out of Gardner Minshew. All right, over to running backs. Not the best week at running back, but at the top, Devin Singletary, 15 to 30%. He's a little banged up, but this isn't a play for right now with Singletary. Frank Gore is the lead back. There's no getting around that. But every time Singletary touches the ball, good things happen. And eventually, he's going to take over. So you're adding him, not with the anticipation of playing him. I saw a lot of people wanted to play him last week. We don't want to play him yet. We want him on our bench. And that is something to note. On your bench, use those last couple roster spots as kind of like scratch-off lottery tickets. You know, you want to start churning the bench to see if you hit on a guy. That's the way to effectively use it. You don't need backups at certain positions. Like, you do not need a backup defense. I feel like I say this every week. If you hit on Lamar and say you went safe and upside and you have like Rivers, you can cut Rivers. Like, it's not the end of the world. In every league, the waiver wire is so chock full of quarterbacks, it doesn't matter if you cut Rivers. You can use that bench spot for a running back or a wide receiver. Think about it. You start probably two running backs, three wide receivers, and a flex. So that's six spots between the two positions that you're using, as opposed to just one spot for quarterback. You don't need to use that bench spot for a quarterback. Same thing with tight end. If you have a backup tight end, I really don't see the need to have a backup tight end unless it's your bye week. You could be hurting at the position. Sure, that's the case. Then stream. I'll have some options for you coming up here in a minute. Use it for running back. Use it for wide receiver. Devin Singletary is a guy to put there. Raheem Mostert also 15 to 30% on him. He surprisingly led the backfield in snaps this week. Not Matt Breida. 30 snaps for Mostert. Breida at 21. So I'm adding him. Just realized that this is still a rental play with Tevin Coleman likely to come back. He could be back as early as next week, but it might be a little bit longer. Carlos Hyde, 10 to 20%. Sorry, Duke Johnson owners. I'm one of you, and I had Duke Johnson in a home league. Hyde is the lead back. 20 carries. He's the early down guy. Duke Johnson is basically what we thought Duke Johnson was. Rashad Penny, 7 to 15%. He's on the wrong side of the committee, but boy, did he look good. He had that burst in the long run. He had double-digit touches. If anything happened to Chris Carson, all of a sudden Rashad Penny is super interesting. Adrian Peterson, 5 to 10%. Blah. Yes, he got in the end zone, but 10 for 25 on the ground. He should be owned. He just doesn't give you any upside. Royce Freeman, 5 to 10% of 50-50 split in that Broncos backfield. So he's in the mix in regular size leagues. He's not a starter yet, but I think he should be owned. Peyton Barber, 5 to 10%. At least he had volume this past week. He didn't really do much with it on Thursday night. I mean, he got in the end zone, but I'm saying from an efficiency standpoint, he's Peyton Barber. But he is the lead back there. He also should be owned. Darwin Thompson, 5 to 10%. Now, it doesn't sound like LeSean McCoy is, the injury is serious, but it also looked like Damian Williams was banged up in this contest as well. So that could possibly open the door. And even if it doesn't right now, this is the point where the people who drafted Darwin Thompson when he was the sexy option, now they're going to start to drop him. So if he does get dropped, I think he is worth scooping up because there's major upside in that offense if the opportunity presents itself. 5 to 10% on Malcolm Brown. It's clearly Todd Gurley's backfield. Brown is a handcuff, but Brown's value would explode if Todd Gurley went down. Does sound like James Conner is okay, but just a friendly reminder, Jalen Samuels is his handcuff, 3 to 5% on him. Alexander Mattison is the handcuff to Dalvin Cook, 3 to 5% on him. Freaking Alexander Mattison looks good. If Dalvin Cook went down, watch out for Alexander Mattison. Jamal Williams, 3 to 5%. Aaron Jones asserted himself this past week, but you know, again, running back is scarce, so you want to churn the bench with these guys. Chase Edmonds, 3 to 5%. David Johnson is going to be good to go, but, you know, again, friendly reminder that maybe he should be owned. 3 to 5% on Frank Gore. He's the lead back, but it's, you know, there's not much upside there. 1% on Ty Montgomery. 31 touches for Le'Veon Bell on Monday night. 31 touches is a lot, you know, and if anything happened, if the injury bug struck him, because the injury bug, not only was it Sam Darnold with mono, but Trevor Siemian on injured reserve now, so they are down to their third string quarterback with the Jets, although that could, you know, obviously it's good for Bell, but a lot of volume, you know, can lead to injuries for running backs. Ito Smith, 1%. I don't think anything has really looked good in that backfield so far, but hey, if you don't believe in Devontae Freeman or if you think that he may end up getting hurt because of his age, you know, he's 27 years old, then scoop up Ito Smith. Jeff Wilson Jr., 1%. Yes, he scored 2 touchdowns, but come on. He was the number 3 back, and when Tevin Coleman comes back, he will go back to the practice squad. So be aware, it's just a short-term rental. And then Benny Snell as well is in the mix at 1%. He could get some early down work if something happened to James Conner. All right, let's move to wide receiver. And I'll tell you, it's not a great week for running back, but wide receiver, I went through the numbers. I was blown away at some of these numbers at how widely available some of these wideouts are. They may not be out there in your league, but I'm going to give you the numbers. And in case they are, these guys, I have 5 guys who absolutely must be owned after this week. If they are not, I don't know what we're doing. I just don't. Marquise Brown, 25 to 50% for Marquise Brown. He's available in 26.1% of leagues. That is shocking to me. I know people were a little concerned about the usage in week 1. He ran the most routes to the Ravens wide receivers in week 2. So no worries about him anymore. He's a boomer bust wide receiver 3 going forward. He has such a great connection with Lamar Jackson. 25 to 50%, he has to be owned. John Brown, 25 to 50%. I don't get it. John Brown was the guy I went after last week hard. Like, went after him hard. He's still just 56.8% owned. Like, what are we doing? He's the number 1 in Buffalo, has a great connection with Josh Allen, needs to be owned. John Ross, 25 to 50%. Are we serious? He's back-to-back 100-yard performances, still available in 26.8% of leagues. Terry McLaurin, 20 to 40%. Somebody has sketch ball for Washington. I tell you what, Terry McLaurin's shown good so far. He's available in 59% of leagues. 20 to 40% on DK Metcalf. He's a little bit more widely owned, but still 66.1%. So he's still out there in well over 30% of leagues. He's a beast. And, you know, he's not the number 1, but Russ showed, just like we thought, Russ showed that he can be efficient, and he was just as efficient last week. DK needs to be owned. All right, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I also think it's surprising he's not as widely owned as you might think. 15 to 30% on him, that is. Geronimo Allison got in the end zone, but Valdez-Scantling is the clear number two. He ran just as many routes as Davante Adams with 35. Allison ran 20 last week. Mecole Hardman, 15-20%. With Tyreek out, it's a rental, but it's a rental for at least three more weeks. I love his upside. And then DeMarcus Robinson, I know a lot of people are going to go after him because they're going to read the box score. And the box score is incredible, right? It's amazing from last week. But here's the thing. 10-20% on him. He was the big play last week. He did it on six targets. He was incredibly efficient. But he had half as many targets as Sammy Watkins. Now, I don't know if Sammy Watkins blows up this week against Baltimore, but I do think he blows up one more time before Tyreek comes back. So just be aware, don't go too crazy with Robinson. He has a rental as long as Hill is sidelined, and really, Watkins is the preferred guy still, like by far. DJ Chark, 10-20%. This kid can play. I'm happy to see it. He wasn't super polished when he came into the league. He looks like he's rounding into form a little bit. Still not the most polished receiver by any means, but improved and playing well and seems to have a good connection with Gardner Minshew, so that's all that really matters. So 10-20% on him. 5-10% on Nelson Aguilar, or as my friends in Philadelphia call him, Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar with Alshon, he's going to be out this week. D-Jax is banged up. We don't know his status just yet, but Aguilar could be in store for another big workload. Had double-digit targets this past week. James Washington, 5-10%. He's got that connection with Mason Rudolph. He's the number two receiver now. By the way, you can drop Dante Moncrief. You can drop Dante Pettis. You can drop any Dante, pretty much, I think. Dante Culpepper, you can drop those guys, all right? Debo Samuel, 5-10%. I think he is the wide receiver to own for the 49ers. Speaking of Dante Pettis, no, we're dropping him. JJ Arcega-Whiteside, 3-5%. With Alshon sidelined, it's a weekly rental thing. So if you get him for a week, Arcega-Whiteside can ball. It's not, you know, a lot of instances when a receiver is out, the next man up is nowhere near as good. I'm not going to say he's as good as Alshon, but I don't think there's that big of a drop off between these two. This kid he's going to be a stud in the future. So you get him for a week. I expect a lot of volume for him with Alshon out. And this is like just he steps right into Alshon's role. Randall Cobb, 3-5%. No Michael Gallup. Now, Cobb does not play Michael Gallup's position. I'll tell you who does. But Cobb in the slot has already been targeted a bunch. And this is such a good matchup. It's not even funny. Devin Smith is the other player. Remember him? Dynasty players. Remember him? Speedster. Devin Smith, 1-3%. I like that he's rising from the fantasy grave and he's playing Michael Gallup spot against the Dolphins. His matchup is disgustingly good. So giddy up, Devin Smith. It's a 2-4 week injury for Gallup. So again, it's just a 2-4 week rental. Just keep that in mind. Preston Williams, 1%. Somebody's got to catch the ball for the Dolphins, and really everything's going wrong for the Dolphins except maybe the play of Preston Williams. Kind of impressed with him so far. So you have some upside, and you're going to have a lot of positive game scripts. And then finally, Mac Hollins, 1%. Again, it's the Alshon D-Jax injury thing. Hollins could be out there, and if he is, it's a short-term rental. At tight end this week, crazy. Mark Andrews is available in 28.7% of leagues. Through the first 2 weeks of the season, he's the number one fantasy tight end. So in other words, he needs to be owned in all leagues right now. He could be the biggest breakout of the year. Tyler Eifert, 3-5% on him. Yeah, not durable, but he got in the end zone last week. And, you know, he can do a little bit of that. So if you're hurting at the position, he's going to continue to be used. And he's historically been a pretty good red zone asset for Andy Dalton. Jason Witten, 3-5%. I love that we're talking about Jason Witten. I'm a Jason Witten guy. Like, I just like the way that he plays football. And he has 7 catches and 2 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks of the season. Those are decent enough tight end numbers. Not a high ceiling, but at least he gives you a floor. Gerald Everett, 1%. All right. Tyler Higbee is banged up. And this is far from the safest play. Tyler Higbee's going to miss time. He has an internal injury. It's a little scary there, but it sounds like he's going to be all right. Gerald Everett, they want to get him used more. There's just a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. And then finally, Will Dissly, 1%. Don't just read the box score. Yes, he scored 2 touchdowns last week. Don't chase last week's stats. He ran 1 fewer route than Nick Vinette. So unsustainable is his production, all right? All right, 3 defenses to stream this week here in Week 3 fantasy football. You know the top one. It's Dallas. They're available in 62.5% of leagues. They face Miami. Do I have to say any more? Miami has given up 10 sacks and 6 interceptions so far this season. So, yeah, Dallas. But a lot of people are going to go after Dallas. Like, streaming's not a new thing anymore. Maybe more than half your league streams at this point. It could be very likely. So, the strategy I like to use. Don't go after the biggest name. Go after, like, the second or third biggest name of the week. So, while everybody else is going after Dallas, I'm just going to go after San Francisco or Tennessee. Those are my other 2 options. I've never bid more than 1% on a defense because I don't want to spend my money on a defense because I'm going to stream them every week. So San Francisco, so far, they've been pretty good. 4 interceptions, 7 sacks. They're going to face Mason Rudolph. I mean, there's a lot of things to like there. That defense a little bit better than people realize. Tennessee, they're going to face Gardner Minshew, and they've already been pretty good this season. 8 sacks, 4 interceptions for them. So they are also in play this week. If you want all these recommendations in article form, of course, you can check those out at pff.com. And by the way, after everything went down yesterday, I did hop on Instagram. So anytime any big news happens, so the Ben Roethlisberger thing, I will hop on there. I will share my thoughts quickly so that you can potentially address the situation as fast as possible, be ahead of your competitors. So make sure you're following me there on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Also at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the pod. Of course, it's Wednesday. That means rankings coming at you Week 3. The preseason is officially over, all right? So we can really get things started here. It's almost fall in the air. It's hitting weather outside. Week 3 rankings coming at you tomorrow. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.